the message for today, I was thinking about all the stories that I've heard in the Bible. Great stories, right? I mean, as a little kid, we hear those stories and we think about those. And as little kids, they're just stories. They don't mean a whole lot to us when we're little kids and they're reading it through the Bible, or you got your VBS going on, or maybe you have your children's church happening, and as a little kid you're listening to those and you don't understand the true weight of what's being said in that story. But as we grow up and we become adults and we lean more into God and trust God more and have faith in what He says and what He's doing, we look at those and we go, these are so much more than just stories. They're guidebooks. They guide us on our way, and that we can see what they walked through and that God had carried them through all of it and what happened afterward on the 41st. And undoubtedly, one of my favorites in the Bible is the story of Moses and what Moses walked through and what he went through. See, Moses' life, it was incredible. Moses' life was an up and down of turmoil. And everything going on and happening with Moses, you guys probably at least remember some of the story about Moses and what was happening in his life, right? Born into a time that he was born into. But I look at this life of Moses, and I see there in the fact that his life is surrounded by the Lord. He is encompassed by the Lord during that whole entire time of having all this turmoil. God is shaping him. God is guiding him. God is protecting him during this time. And to me, that's something to be joyous about. To me, that's something that I can go out and I can cheer about, that because the Lord is faithful and He will see us through. Every aspect of Moses' life was directed by God, from birth to death. And if you think about it, I will tell you that your life is also touched and directed by God, from birth till death. Now, whether you choose to believe me or not, well, that's on you. But I hope you believe what I'm saying to you, because I want you to realize what we're going to be talking about today is yours for the taking. It's yours to be had. And I want to get into exactly what we're talking about, because we're talking about how Moses played a significant part in God's plan. It was significant. It takes up a lot of the Bible. When I talk about how significant he is, we look at Moses and we go, he was the Savior of Israel. The Savior of Israel. He was a prince in Egypt. But he was also a shepherd in a very rugged, arid land. And all of this was set in motion because God had something special for Moses. He had something special that he wanted him to do in his life, but to prepare him for that special moment, he had to go through, a little bit of turmoil, of growing, of strengthening, of being a part of what God had in store for him. As I said before, Moses' life was full of up and downs. And if we think and we reflect on our life that we had it bad, we need to take a look at that story again and see what was going on with Moses, because Moses had it rough. If you want to refresh your memory later on, you can read through the book of Exodus, and Exodus has the story of what Moses went through. And it's important. You see, he was born into a time where, Hebrew males were being killed. They were being killed for the fact that they were just Hebrew males. See, the Pharaoh at the time thought there was too many Hebrews out there, so he said, I want all the male Hebrews to be killed. And that was an edict put out by the Pharaoh. Think about that. You have a child, and if you have a male child, you think about, I have to worry about whether he's going to be killed or not, just because he's male, just because he's of a certain, race, a creed. He lived during that time. But God was with him. And God knew what he was going to do. And he saved him. You see, God put things in motion where Moses was raised as an Egyptian prince. We know the story, how he was put in a basket. He was put down the Nile. One of the princes, or not princess, but the princess of Egypt found this papyrus basket, pulled it from the river, took charge of this young Hebrew male, and raised him as her own, and he became a prince in Egypt. But in all of that, he had it torn away from him. See, he did something that set other things in motion. And because of what he did, he then ended up living life as a simple shepherd. And we have to understand, as a simple shepherd, remember what shepherds are thought about in this time, in this period, in this area and region? Shepherds are not looked upon very highly. They are almost second to the bottom of society. This is a shepherd. And this is where Moses spent a period of his time. And after that period of his time, it comes into the point where God then calls him into service in his plan for his kingdom. He's called into service by the Lord. Now, we've called this series Beyond the 40, and we're talking about the 40s in the Bible, and more importantly, beyond the 40. So how does Moses play into this? Well, you probably have some ideas, but I want to shed a little more light upon Moses and how the 40s really play into his life and beyond the 40. See, the life of Moses is intertwined with 40. The first 40 years of his life he spent as that prince of Egypt, growing up in the palace, having everything that he could have, all the amenities. He didn't have to worry about food. He didn't have to worry about clothing. He didn't have to worry about anything. He was a prince. He had the power and the authority given to him for the sheer fact that he was a prince of Egypt. He was very powerful in stature because of his circumstances, because of being a prince. But the fact is that Moses was very weak in a notion. You see, he was weak in the notion that he thought that he could control all of his life. That because of his stature, because of his wealth, because of whatever authority that he thought he had, he thought he could control every part of his life. And he was proven wrong. He did something that set in motion that next 40 years of his life that showed him that he was actually in control of nothing. He got to control how he believed and what he did, and everything else was outside his purview. See, Moses was brought down, and the second 40 years of his life was spent running away. He ran away from authority in Egypt. You see, during his previous 40, when he was the prince of Egypt, he found out he was a Hebrew male. And he saw people fighting. And in that fighting stuff, he tried to intervene. But during that intervention, he ended up killing an Egyptian. And because he was afraid of what was going to happen during that time, because if you killed an Egyptian, the sentence was execution. And he was afraid of that. He was afraid he was going to be executed. Now, he's being treated like a prince, right? To everybody else, he's the prince of Egypt. But in his mind and in his heart, he's going, I'm not a prince anymore. I'm Hebrew. And if Hebrews harmed an Egyptian, they were killed. And sometimes they were killed in a very gruesome way. So he decides to head out. And he's taking off. And he's running. And he keeps on running. And he keeps on running. And he ends up in a special area. He ends up being in a place where he was to grow. He became a shepherd in the area of Midian. That's that arid, rugged landscape I was talking about before. And he was there, and he became a shepherd, and he tended somebody else's sheep. He didn't own anything. What he had was maybe the clothes on his back. And as he worked and he did his thing as a shepherd, he cared for somebody else's stuff and not his own. Everything he had before whatever perceived authority he had before, whatever wealth he had before, maybe if he had some land before, all that was now gone. It was not his. It was proven to him that it could be taken away. And so he spent time out there caring for somebody else's property. But during that time, he grew, and he grew exponentially. He began to figure things out, and he began to become curious about who God is. And through this experience of becoming curious about who God is, he would look up the mountain sometimes, and the mountain would be full of fire and billowing smoke. It'd be full of lightning. And you could hear the thunder roll. Sometimes it might even shake the ground. And he got curious. He got curious about the God of the Hebrew tribe. He got curious about our God. So during that time, he said, I'm going to go do something. You see, up on that mountain, there was a bush. And that bush was burning. And even though that bush was burning, you know the story, right? It was not consumed. So he decided to walk up that mountain. He decided to peer at this bush that would not be consumed, even though it was burning. And as he went up there, he stood before that bush, and something miraculous happened. He met God. See, he began his life in turmoil, where his mother feared for him and set him free to be a prince of Egypt. And at this point, we have him on the mountain heeding the call of the Lord. And ultimately, we see where his life ends, actually peering and looking over the land of milk and honey that was promised to the Israelites. This is the life of Moses. Moses was there. He was then. And that was the 40. The first 40 as a prince of Egypt. The second 40 as a shepherd. And the last 40 as God's servant. 120 years. Now, there's some discussion on whether that was actually 120 years. I'm going to go by what the Bible tells me. And I'm going to say, we're going to call it that. That he literally served 3 40-year segments in different ways for God. But even inside that, even inside the 40s that he was living in, there's another 40 that is an absolute game changer. It changes everything up. And you guys probably know the 40 I'm referring to. And that was the 40 days that he spent on a mountain receiving something from God. Because he was up there receiving the law of God. He was receiving the Ten Commandments. That's Moses' life. But here's the point where we get confused sometimes. We think that Moses brought down the Ten Commandments to everybody, and it was revealed to the people so that how they should live. But if you actually read through your scriptures, you can figure out that the Israelites were actually given the Ten Commandments before Moses physically brought them down from the mountain. If you got your Bibles with you, I want you to open up to the book of Exodus. I want you to turn to chapter 19. Because we see in 19 exactly what's happening. Because God has already given the Israelites his commandments. If you're 19, you may turn to verses 16 and 17 and just wait for the rest of us. Exodus 19, verses 16 to 17. This is what's going on at the time. It says, on the morning of the third day, there was a thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Moses had gathered the people together to meet with God, and they stood there at the foot of the mountain. Now, if you continue reading on there, you get some direction on there. How about Moses has this conversation with God and says, God, we can't stand at the foot of the mountain. You've already told us not to be here. And God comes back and says, just do what I tell you to do. I want to speak to my children. I'm paraphrasing. But he does that. And the people are there. And you can know that God actually talked to them when you turn the page and go to chapter 20. Where it says, and God spoke all these words. The people were gathered at the foot of the mountain. They were there with Moses. They were there with everybody else. And God was there and he spoke these words to all of them. He spoke the Ten Commandments. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. He said, have no other gods before me. He said, you shall not make a graven self-image. You shall not misuse the Lord's name. He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He told them to honor your father and your mother. He said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not covet. He told this to all the people there as they stood at the base of that mountain. They had to have heard him. When God speaks, we're supposed to listen, right? And they are at a most prominent time of being in the presence of the Lord and having the Lord speak to them and giving them his Ten Commandments. And he spells out to them his law. And this is important to know this, because later on, it's not till later on that Moses ends up going up the mountain and spending 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord and receiving his word, receiving the written law from God. And we know this happens because if we go further into Exodus, if we go to chapter 24, verse 12, we see that Moses is told to go up and stay with him. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction. He says, I'm going to give them to you. That means he already wrote them out. He says, I'm going to write them out for you. I'm going to give you the tablets. I'm going to carve these things out for you. I'm going to give you the tablets that you're supposed to bring down for everybody. I've written them out for you. God wrote these out. And if you doubt whether God wrote these out, then you need to go a little further into verse 18 where it says that he spent 40 days and 40 nights doing these things. And he stayed on the mountaintop 40 days and 40 nights, right? But then go a little further into chapter 31, verse 18, where it's written, when the Lord finished speaking, when he finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. God wrote these. God wrote this out and said, I'm going to give this all to you. Gave him the tablets. Gave him the word. Gave him the law. Can you imagine if you got something written, inscribed by the finger of God? How would you treat that? That would be most dear, wouldn't it? They have the law now, written by God. But something was going on, and you guys can read about what was going on later on. You'll find out about a golden calf and other stuff. Because Moses goes up on the mountain twice to receive the law. After that first time, the golden calf. Do you understand why God was so mad at the Israelite nation for what they did? You see, he gave them the law before he gave them the written one. He says, I've been down there and I spoke to you personally. And I gave you the law that I wanted you to keep for your benefit. And then you, after, while Moses is up here and you fully know the law, you then decided to go against this law and make a golden calf to worship. I can understand why God was mad and upset. It's not like they didn't know. I mean, sometimes if somebody doesn't know, I will give them a little bit of grace, right? To say, you didn't know, I get it, but now you do. But these people knew. This nation knew. Do not do this. Do not make a graven image to worship and call holy. I am the Lord your God. And they did it anyway. So Moses comes down, and you'll read the story where he ended up doing something with these stone tablets. If you're curious, go in and see what he did with these stone tablets. But Moses ended up going on the mountain twice. The second time was kind of for the same thing, to receive the written law from God. But it was a little different this time. If you're still in your Bibles, turn to chapter 34. And if you're in 34, look at verses 1 and 2. Because the Lord said to Moses, I want you to chisel out two stones like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. Now God says, I want you to come back up, and I want you to get the law again. I want to give these commandments to you again. But this time you bring your stones with you, bring the tablets with you. I want you to chisel these things out. Now, how many of you have done enough landscaping or gardening to know how much stones really weigh? If you get a stone that's larger than your fist, there's some weight in there. Now, I can't imagine that the stones that Moses took up there was the size of a cell phone. They were probably fairly big, right? And Moses carried them things up the mountain. God said, no, I want you to bring these tablets this time. I'm going to ride on them, but you're bringing them. So he hiked those things up there. I remember what it was like when I had a 20-pound rucksack on my back marching in the military. That was heavy, and it got heavier every step I took. Moses is the man. And he carried those things up there. And went up there, and he spent another 40 days and another 40 nights. You can read that in verse 28, where he stayed up there that long again, and he was fasting. 28, it says, Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, without eating or drinking. I don't know about you, but I find myself being parched right now just speaking that I need a drink of water. I've gone a few days without eating, longer than some, less than others, but I usually don't go very long without having something or water to drink or something, some type of fluid. Moses was there 40 days and 40 nights without eating and drinking. Now, you might look at that and go, well, it says here that, and he wrote on the tablets the words of covenant, the Ten Commandments, saying, well, Pastor, it said before that he took the tablets, but God said he would write on them. But I'm reading here that, you know, Moses wrote on them. Well, to prove the point, we need to go look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, this supposed area of confusion is cleared up. And you have to remember, all these are written by Moses himself. He writes, this is his writing. This is what he has given us for our life. And when I see that, chapter 10, it says, at the time the Lord said, come to me, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and come up to me on the mountain. Sounds like what was written in Exodus, right? Also, make a wooden ark. I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Then you are to put them in the ark. So he's telling him that I'm going to write on these things again. You're going to bring them. I'm going to write. You're going to put them in the ark. So I make the ark out of acacia wood and chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. And I went up to the mountain with the two tablets in my hands. So we know he treks these heavy things up that mountain. But pay attention to verse 4. It says, the Lord wrote on these tablets what he had written before, the Ten Commandments he had proclaimed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of the assembly. So God wrote the law on these tablets again. Moses didn't write them. God wrote them. And that's where we have confusion. We figure out, why? You know, there's a little bit of trivia about the stone tablets that sometimes we don't. If we pay attention to Scripture, we find out that God didn't only write on one side of these stone tablets. He wrote on both. Both sides are written on. It's in the Scripture. Look it up. But he wrote on both of these. So he said, well, if God wrote these, then why 40 days? Why does Moses have to be up on the mountain 40 days, right? The thing is, a lot of times because of media, because of the way we're raised or we hear the stories and so on and so forth, we begin to think that Moses was up there 40 days and 40 nights before God even connected with him and said, hey, I want you to take these things. But that's not the case. That's not the case at all. God didn't wait 40 days to meet with Moses. If you turn back into Exodus to chapter 24, it says in there something that's very compelling and reveals what's going on there. In 24, if you're looking at verses 15 to 16, it says, when Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountains, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. Moses was up on that mountain. Now, Moses didn't go alone. He had Joshua with him. And for 6 days, Moses and Joshua sat higher on that mountain than the elders did at the base. And it was on the seventh day that the Lord called out and said, Moses, come up here. I want to talk to you. And Joshua stayed where he was at, and Moses went up. And for another 33 days after that seventh day, Moses stayed up there. 40 days and 40 nights. That he stayed there talking to God. And I can only assume that God wanted to give Moses further instruction, right? If God's talking to you, isn't it usually instruction about how you're supposed to live your life or what you're supposed to be doing in his service? And I can't imagine that this was any different. And God gave instruction to Moses about what he wanted to do. If you kept on reading through that, you'd find out how God gave him instruction about the tabernacle, how they were supposed to build the tabernacle, what it was supposed to be, what it was supposed to look like. He gave him instruction about the table, the ark, the lampstand that was to be inside of it. If you keep on turning your pages, you'll find out about the altar of burnt offering and the courtyard and the priestly garments and the oil for the lampstand, the ephod, the breastpiece that they were to wear. He gave him instruction how the priests were supposed to be consecrated. It's a lot of instruction. 40 days and 40 nights. Now, God gave instructions on every aspect of what he expected. He gave instruction on receiving offerings even for the construction of that which he went and built. He gave instruction in great detail on every aspect of their tabernacle. Maybe that's why Moses had to be up there so long. I don't know. Did it have to take this long? I would have to say that if God wants you to know something, he's able to put it in your mind, in your heart, in an instant so that you know it. And I hope you would agree with me on that. But sometimes, well, most of the time, God doesn't do it that way. He takes you along a path and gives us to you in time so that you learn to, well, grow in it, right? And to truly understand it. So that way when he's ready for you to use it, that you truly understand what he's talking about. And maybe this was part of what Moses was going through. But I think if we look further in the word, that we find out exactly what was going on here. And I want you guys to take a look at this with me. I want you to turn to chapter 34 of Exodus. We're going to go back into 34. And we're going to see maybe perhaps why God asked him to stay that long. I want you to look at verse 29. Where it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. See, I think that Moses spent time up on that mountain. He spent those long days and those long nights not eating, not drinking, just doing what he had to do up there because he needed to spend time in the presence of God. It was about spending time in the presence of God. It was about everything else that was going on. It was about him, about Moses absorbing the Lord into himself and being a part of the experience of being with God in that instance. So you have to understand that the mountaintop was covered. It was full of a cloud that the Lord had, like billowing smoke, like a consuming fire, right? So it was God up there and it was Moses up there. There was nothing else up there. There was no other distractions up there. It was Moses and it was God. He could not probably see out because it says in the scripture that they could not see in. It was Moses and God. And he was there. He was there to pour out his spirit to Moses. He was there to help Moses get ready for what he was asking him to do, which was something so great that he needed to be ready. And he had to travel a long, hard, and arduous journey to get to that point. And God says, you're not even ready in this journey. You need to come up here and I will get you ready for the next stage. Sometimes we can't figure out why we're asked to go through one hard journey into another hard journey into another hard journey. But it's all part of a plan to get us ready for the next stage. God cares enough about each and every one of us that he says, I want you to be ready for what I'm calling you to do, that I've asked you, because you are so important to what I have in progress right now. I want you to be ready for it. Because if we're not ready for something, doesn't it feel awful? If we're not ready for something, yesterday I was not ready. I was not ready for that. I don't know how you can be ready for that, and I felt awful when I gained that news. I was in shock. But God is a God of grace and mercy. And he says, if I'm going to ask you to do something, I'm going to get you ready for it. I mentioned last week that Kaylee stood up here one day and said she figured out how it was to be radically obedient. Sometimes we just have to be radically obedient. And I think that was the point where God was pouring himself out on Moses. And Moses came down. This was his day 41. He came down off the mountain, day 41, and his face shone with brilliance. His face shone with brilliance. He came down from meeting with God, and he shone so brightly that the elders that he met with on the way down were scared. They were scared of Moses and the brilliance that he shone from his face and his presence, from just being with God. And Moses had to calm them down and say, no, it's okay. It's okay. Come up here. Come to me. And sooner or later that they came to him and he talked with them, and they could, I'm assuming they could really tell, right? And then all the people had to come out and see. All of them came and saw how Moses just glowed from his experience. That was his day 41. So now we jump into our day 41. Because sometimes we're asked to sit up on that mountaintop for a while. But when we're asked to sit on the mountaintop and there's nothing around, God is there. Sometimes he's there and we go through things so the distractions of everything else are taken away from us so that we rely upon God even more. That we turn off the TV, that we turn off the radio, that we put down our cell phone, that we look at something else. We turn off the lights. Whatever it is you need to do to just be with God in the time that you're at, to be in his presence. Because I guarantee you that if you're with God in his presence at the time you need him, he will never fail you. Never. And that we come out of that, we are in our day 41. And when we have our day 41, after we've spent our 40 days, 40 nights, 40 years, 40 months, whatever it is, because for that 40, God is pouring His Spirit into us, getting us ready for what is about to happen. And when we come out of that, we shine with the radiance of God. We come out of there. And that's when people look around and say, wow, what happened? What's going on? They'll look at us and go, I want some of that. I know what's happened in their life, but yet they're so joyful. They radiate light from them. I got to have that. I remember Jesus speaking to us in the Sermon on the Mount. It comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And He tells us that we are the light of the world. We are a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. You're a lighthouse. He said, people don't light a lamp and put it underneath a table or a bed to hide the light. No, they put it on a lampstand, right? So that it shines out all over. And He tells us that we are to shine in the same way. That we're supposed to go forth and let our lives shine to the fact where that others may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. See, God spends His time pouring His Spirit in each one of us so that when we go out, others can see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. That's what the 40 was about, I think. I think that's why Moses had to spend that time up there. Yeah, there was other things for him to do. He could have been writing all those instructions down for the entire time. But that is minuscule compared to His shining face when He came down on the 41st. It's so important.